Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
I want to preach this morning on the return of Christ, and I pray that what you hear from the Bible this morning will arrest your attention, and it might be for you, it's brand new, and it may sound like a little bit of a fairy tale. I assure you, it is not a fairy tale. It may sound like something to some religious fabrication. I assure you that it is a major doctrine of the Word of God. Amen. Let's all stand together, please, and I'd like to read 2 Thessalonians, by way of introduction this morning, verses 1 through 3, and then verse 8. Verse 1 says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ," he's coming, "by our gathering together unto him," that's the rapture, "that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, neither by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." And there were some false letters that were floating around, even in Paul's day, claiming things that were not of God. And some had thought and were teaching that they'd already missed the rapture. That wasn't true. That's why Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. That's why Paul wrote 2 Thessalonians. It says, "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away, apostasy, first, that the man of sin be revealed, and the son of perdition," and by the way, that's the Antichrist, and that's next Sunday morning's message. You tune in next week. Verse 8 says, skip on down to verse 8, because I can't preach this text, it's next week. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." The second coming of Christ is found in two phases. That's what my outline is this morning. Pretty simple. First one's the rapture. That's the rescue. The second one is the revelation. That's the reveal. That's where Jesus is seen by the whole world. They are separated by 7 years of time. There are no signs for the rapture of the church. And by the way, and so when I refer to the second coming, I'm actually referring to both. I'm referring to the rapture, 7 years we're in heaven, 7 years while we're in heaven, bema seat, marriage supper of the Lamb, 7 years of God bringing Israel back to God, the rapture, 7 years of tribulation, Jacob's sorrow, and then the revelation. That's when Jesus sets foot upon Mount Olivet. That's when every eye shall see him. That's when the Battle of Armageddon takes place in the Valley of Megiddo, and the armies of the world are defeated, and the Antichrist defeated for good, forever, all done. And when I refer to the second coming, I'm actually referring to two. I'm going to explain which one I'm referring to this morning. There isn't a third coming. I don't want to imply that. Using Bible terminology, there's the second coming of Christ. Jesus said, John 14:3, "I will come again." Amen. "And I will receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." You understand the second coming of Christ is found 383 times in the Word of God. It is not a minor doctrine. One in every 25 verses of the New Testament speak to the return of Jesus Christ to this earth. 23 of the 27 New Testament books tell us that Jesus is coming again. It is the most mentioned topic in all of the Word of God. You understand, God didn't just create this world and set it to spinning, take his hands off it and said, "Now you're on your own, fellas." That's not how it happened. God created Adam. God created Eve. He created man in his own image. Man rebelled against God. And for 4,000 years of Old Testament, and Abraham enters into that. Abraham, the only man in the whole world faithful to Jehovah God. And God says, "Abraham, I'm going to bless your seed. And I'm going to bless them that bless your seed." He's talking about Israel. And those 12 tribes came out of Abraham. And Abraham, that was the Jewish nation. The book of Romans tells us the oracles of God, the word of God, was entrusted to Old Testament Israel. And it was. Right. And then they had that 4,000 years of Old Testament history. It was prophesied a Messiah would come. His name is Jesus. Preached a little bit about that last Sunday morning. He came and he fulfilled the law. He came as the Lamb of God and went to the cross and died in my place and died in your place that we might inherit eternal life. Jesus Christ is the bridge to heaven. There is no other way to heaven other than God's Son. Jesus said, "Straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Broad is the way that leadeth to eternal destruction, but straight and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life." Jesus is that bridge. There's no other way to God's heaven. You don't go to God's heaven without God's Son. When Jesus paid your price for your sin on Mount Calvary, on the hill of Golgotha, when your sins were nailed to his body on that cross, it was all the sin debt was paid, and all you've got to do is receive him as your Savior. That's why the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a promise of God. Listen, you had nothing to do. You had no way you could slow up or prevent the first coming of Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21. We call this the incarnation. This is what Christmas is about. That's when God the Son was provided a human body that he might take our place on the cross. So he could live 33 years of perfection here on this earth. He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Never once did he do wrong. Never once. You see, righteousness is the only thing. The righteousness of the Son of God is the only thing that could wipe away our sin. So he lived that perfect life. He obeyed the law like we couldn't. We couldn't. The law is good. I am not. You are not. And so a Redeemer had to come. If you could have gotten to heaven by doing good works, Jesus would not have had to visit this earth. But you see, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified. Jesus came to fulfill the law. Look what it says. You remember the Christmas story, verse 21. And she, that's Mary, shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. That's the incarnation. That is God's Son coming down to this earth and living in a small speck of a planet full of rebels and rebellious and fallen man and an undeserving man. And he took our place on the cross and he provided eternal life. And if you had been there, and Israel rejected him as the Messiah. That was last Sunday's message. Israel rejected him, became on his own received him not. And you had nothing, there's no way you could prevent the first coming of Christ. You see, this earth is going somewhere. And there's no way you're going to prevent the second coming of Christ either. He's coming. It is a major, major doctrine. Look at 2 Thessalonians. I'm going to move ahead. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He's coming soon. Please take your Bibles, if you would, 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4 and verse 13. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. Now, you know, those of you that come to this church, you know that I am not a doomsday prophet. I am not a pessimist in any way, shape, or form. I am the glass is half full kind of guy. I've always been that way. I take no credit for that. That's just the way I am. If we're down by 20 points at half, I'm the coach in the locker room that says, we can make some changes and we can win this game. We can make some changes and we can come from behind and we can pull victory out of the jaws of defeat. I am not a pessimist, not in any way, shape, or form. I'm not Chicken Little yelling the sky's falling. I'm telling you this, though, this morning. God has graciously, God in his merciful way, has given the church of Jesus Christ all kinds of opportunity to awake out of sleep. I'm telling you what, God is good. Because we get full of ourselves and we forget the plan of God and we don't understand God's chronology and what all is going on in the world. And before long, we're all doing our own little thing or we're making some money or we're building something over here. And somehow, some way, we kind of lose sight, sheep prone to wander. All we like sheep have gone astray and turned everyone onto his own way. And God in his mercy is warning the New Testament church of Jesus Christ. Listen, I told you I was going to come again. I told you I was going to come again in John 14. When I ascended on up into heaven, I sent two angels that stood there and said, ye men of God, why stand you gazing into the sky? This same Jesus whom you've seen go into the clouds is going to come in like manner. He said, I've told you one in every 25 verses by way of Holy Writ in the New Testament, 383 times. The last message of the book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, where you can't add anything to it, don't take anything away from it. He said, behold, I come quickly. And I'm telling the church of Jesus Christ this morning, no matter where you are, our Lord is coming soon. Look, and the first part that's going to be fulfilled is the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I read quickly because I've got a lot to cover. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, although many are, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Talking about brethren that have died already. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That is the gospel, by the way, death, burial, and resurrection. We worship a living God. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, those of us that will be alive when Jesus comes again, shall not prevent or precede them which are asleep. The dead in Christ will rise first. For the Lord himself, remember Acts chapter 1, the two angels, he's going to come in the same manner he left. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain, people on this earth, shall be caught up. That is the Greek word harpazo, which means snatched or seized. There's a word from the Latin called rapture. That is a modern word for this word. When we refer to the rapture of the church, we refer to the day that Jesus appears in the clouds, doesn't set foot upon the earth, but he comes to rescue the church. Right at the end of the church age, he appears in the clouds, the trump of God, the voice of the archangel. He's going to say, come up hither, and we're going to rise, and we're in 11/100ths of a second, or the twinkling of an eye, our bodies will be changed, and we'll be in the presence of God. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. That's the next event that is going to happen in the prophetical calendar. All of the eschatology that's being taught, the next thing that is going to happen is the rapture of the church. I'm just pouring this stuff out. Paul expected the rapture in his lifetime. He believed in the imminent return of Christ. You know why that is? Because there are no signs for the rapture. The signs that we read of in Matthew 24, those are all fulfilled during the tribulation of the millennial kingdom. Those are for the Jewish people, the 144,000, the two super witnesses outside the temple. There are no signs for the rapture. Paul just referred to it as the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our God, our great God, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul just said, man, I'm looking for it. I'm a stargazer. I know that Jesus is going to come very soon. I want you to know he's coming quicker than you realize. I'm going to come to that in just a moment. Let me just finish reading this text. Verse 17 says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. The rapture of the church. Let's go right to chapter 5 of the same book. And by the way, the church will not be here during the tribulation. I'm going to lay that out better next Sunday morning. The church, the very word church, is found 19 times in chapters 1 through 3 of the book of Revelation. Chapter 4, verse 1, the come up hither, the rapture of the church. John was brought up into the presence of God, the 420 elders and all those things. And then 7 years of tribulation begin on this earth once the Antichrist, the man of sin, confirms that peace treaty with Israel. Boy, there's a lot I want to share right there. I'm going to hold that back till next Sunday morning. So here we come, the last days, apostasy breaks out. The church was warned of this. There's a lot of reasons. We have a lot more light than they had in the first century. I will say this before I read this fifth chapter, the beginnings of this fifth chapter. There's no new truth. There's no new revelation. Revelation is complete. You just read Revelation chapter 22. But when the New Testament was being recorded, you understand they didn't even have the whole Bible yet. And you understand in the year 2020, we have a whole lot more light. By that, I mean, we see the scripture in better context because 2020 is, or hindsight's 2020, right? You look back and say, oh, look what happened there. Look what happened there. Man, that's amazing. There is no excuse for the church of Jesus Christ to be caught unawares when Jesus comes again. There's no way we ought to have our feet up on our desk watching some tractor video. Not to put you in an evil light right now this morning, but it's an illustration. So that's where you're at, right? There's no way we should be at ease in Zion because God, in his mercy, has given us all kinds of indicators knowing that his coming is soon. Verse 1 says of chapter 5, but of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. The day of the Lord, found 100 times in the word of God. It's synonymous with the day of Christ, found 12 times. In that day, found 100 times. Day of the Lord, day of God, mentioned 2 times. The day of the Lord, the day of Christ, you know what that is? That's when God takes over. That starts at the rapture. Okay, man, you've had your way long enough. Church, you've had your opportunity to evangelize and win your loved ones and reach this world for Christ. Now I'm taking over, all right? Verse 2 says, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. And I'm telling you, this world's going somewhere. It is pulsating. Now, no doubt, the climax of human history was Mount Calvary, was the crucifixion. And then 3 days later, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But theologically, the climax will be the return of Christ. Let me just say it this way. The King is coming. Amen. You and I won't stop it. The King is coming. God has it all laid out. The King is coming. Let's read on. Verse 4 says, but ye, brethren, are not in darkness. That's us. He's talking to the church of Thessalonica. You know that? He's talking to Fundamental Baptist Church. He's talking to the New Testament church in the year 2020. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. With light comes knowledge. This is not night. We are children of the light, translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. If anybody ought to expect the return of Christ, it ought to be the church of Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 6, therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. That describes our culture. But let us who are of the day be sober. That's vigilant, putting on the breastplate of faith and love. And for an helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, tribulation, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 10. Just turn back a couple of pages. Chapter 1 and verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. So he says two times in this one letter, just blurts it out in a statement, and he lays it out doctrinally. The church is not going through the tribulation. This is not the church. No matter how tough things get in the months to come, in the weeks, and the days to come, this is not the tribulation. When the tribulation starts, the church has already been called home. We'll already be rescued. That is called the rapture of the church. What a glory that is. It says in verse 10 to the church at Thessalonica that we are to wait for his Son from heaven. You see, not all of us are going to go to heaven by way of the grave. That's what 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13 is talking about. Some of us are going to be alive when Jesus comes. And we're going to be snatched from this earth. We're going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Comfort one another with these words. We live in a strange day. Things seem to be changing at breakneck speed. I don't know. I know where it's all going to end. I'm not worried about the future. I'm concerned about the people that I pastor. I'm concerned about the flock. Somebody told me at the beginning of this time of separation, and I didn't want to hear it at the time. He said, Pastor, you realize as a church family, we might not ever assemble again. I said, No, I reject that. You know, And the truth is, I still think, you know, very soon, apart from the second coming of Christ, we will be assembling again. You know, and I look forward to that day. And church just isn't the same without you people sitting at home. It isn't, man. The congregational singing, although the few people that are here are doing their best, it's not the same as when we lift the rafters. Amen. And I want to see your face. I want you to know that you're loved. One day, but I put this out in a prayer alert not too many days ago. We're going to assemble again. If the Lord returns first, it won't be here, it won't be there, it'll be in the air, but we're going to assemble again. You can count on that. And that's what Paul is referring to, the rapture of the church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Would you quickly, because I'm running out of time, turn to Matthew and chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to try not to get bogged down. I've already preached and told you this. No signs for the rapture. Verse 1 says, and Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. Big deal, right? He's creator God. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And by the way, that happened. I've already preached that. When Titus the Conqueror, AD 70, tore down the temple, besieged Jerusalem. Verse 3 says, and as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus gives them a whole bunch of signs. But he says, listen, there's going to be all kinds of false teachers and all kinds of false antichrists, but don't think that's the end. Now, these are signs for Israel. You understand that? We're biblicists. We know what the Bible is saying in its context. What we read in Matthew in chapter 24 is really for Israel. This is the kind of thing, these are the kind of things the 144,000 are going to preach during the tribulation. See, God told us these things are going to happen, and look what's going on. The sun going black and all the catastrophic judgments and all the meteors falling from the sky and all the death and all the famine, all these things, they're going to be fulfilled during the tribulation. Go back a few chapters to Matthew 16. Matthew and chapter 16. Verse 3. Verse 1 says, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him, that's Jesus, that he would show them a sign from heaven. Do a trick for us, Jesus. Man, if you're the Son of God, do something miraculous. And he answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather to the day, for the sky is red and lowering. You've heard a variation of that. Red sky in the morning, sailor take warning. Red sky at night, sailor delight. You know, that's actually rooted in the scripture. Right. It says here in verse 3, O ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. A wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. There shall no sign be given unto it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas, Jesus, 3 days, three nights. And he left them and departed. There are no signs for the rapture. You understand, we are that privileged people, called of God, to be part of the New Testament church in the final days of the church. Jesus is coming soon. I didn't even get to the second point. I'm just about out of time. I'm just going to wrap up the second point. But I want you to know, there are things going on. I don't want to sound spooky. I'm just telling you like it is. I'm not being Chicken Little. There are things going on in this world today that I never thought these eyes would see happen. I'm hearing of things. It is amazing. No signs for the rapture. But it's like God, in his mercy, saying, you're almost out of time. You better go win so-and-so. You better talk to your brother. You better talk to Uncle Joe, because you're quickly running out of time. Last night, I stepped out of my sliding glass door in the backside of the parsonage. Yesterday was a beautiful day, and then it got real windy last night. It got windy during the day, too. And then the sky got cloudy and gray. And I just got to contemplating on the rapture of the church, and I'm looking back into the hardwoods, and the winds were blowing hard, and the limbs were cracking and creaking and all kinds of noises in the woods. And it was a warm wind. It was really strange, and the skies were gray. And it just broke in on my soul. Jesus is coming soon. And it was a little bit of eeriness outside. In this world of darkness in which we are living, you've got to know this. Jesus is coming soon. I got four big points here I want to preach, and I'm already out of time. And I'm not going to be able to preach them. I'll just give you a little bit of an overview of it. If you go back to Matthew 24 again, Matthew in chapter 24, verse 32, I alluded to this a week ago, learned the parable of the fig tree. Now, when Jesus showed this fig tree to the disciples just days before Calvary, and he cursed the fig tree. You remember the instance. And while they were gone, and they were in Jerusalem for the triumphal entry, and they came back, and the curse and the fig tree, because it was bearing no fruit, was already withered up. And the disciples took note, and they thought, wow, that's amazing. They didn't understand all that was going on. Remember what I told you? We have more light today. AD 70, Israel was going to cease to become a nation. It was going to be scattered all over the world. You know, for hundreds of years, there was no Israel. For hundreds of years, the children of Abraham were scattered into every culture and nation and tongue and tribe all over the world. And then Israel started in 1948, became a nation again. That happened just before I was born. For the first time in hundreds of years, Radio Tel Aviv crackled out the message, Israel is born, and never again will she be gone. What a message that was. And Jesus was referring to the fig tree as Israel. And he said here in the latter part of this passage that this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. 1948, that man that was born that year would be 72 years of age, man or woman, 72 years of age. Had 7 years of tribulation of that makes him 79 years of age. Because remember, we're in Matthew chapter 24. This is for the Jews. 79 years of age. Now, Jesus could have come at any time and fulfilled this prophecy any time from 1948 now through however long that guy lives. But I'm just telling you, we're at the end. We're at the very end. I wanted to substantiate this with scripture. I wanted to go to Ezekiel 37 this morning and prophesy, use the prophecy of Ezekiel, how Israel would come back and become a nation again and receive might and power, and God would call them to his side. What a day that is going to be. Look, verse 36. I'm going to skip the rest of my message. Verse 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. And he goes on and says, it's going to be just like in the days of Noah. Immorality. Everybody doing that which is right in their own eyes. But he says to the church, I'll not forget you. I will come again. And I will receive you unto myself. And without even going to the revelation, I'll have to put that in next week's message somehow. Hear this. Jesus is coming. Amen. The King. He's coming for his church. Amen. The trumpet is going to sound. Say, preacher, that sounds so much like a fairy tale. That sounds so much like something a televangelist would use to kind of gain a following. That's not what's going on. You got to know, it is not religious fabrication. It is a major doctrine of the Word of God. And you're hearing it from this pulpit and other pulpits as well. Jesus is coming soon. God, in his grace and in his mercy, has given us extra time. Something happened this last week, and I am going to fit this into the message. I want to make time for it here this morning. In fact, I can give you the exact time. At 8:51 in the evening, CNN reported. CNN is not a friend to New Testament Christians. They are not about trying to substantiate prophecy. That is not what they do, just the opposite. CNN gave this report. The UN Security Council has had a meeting. They meet regularly. Five nations in that council, see if I can remember them right now. The United States, Great Britain, France, China, and Russia. Four of the five, and I'm not sure what nation's holding out. Four of the five nations have come to the conclusion and are making dogmatic statements. They are ready for a world leader. And when they appoint him, he is going to declare a worldwide ceasefire. This is on CNN. The president of France, Macron, is that his name? Has made it known he wants to be, I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. Too many have done that before and been wrong. But he said he wants to be that leader and he's prepared for it. He's 42 years of age. So I started researching this thing and to see what was going on and what exactly was said. What I'm telling you right now is exactly what was reported by a CNN news network, right? So I'm doing this research on this guy and talking about the Antichrist. And I'm not saying he's the Antichrist. I'm just telling you, God in his mercy has given us all kinds of opportunity. You know what? You know what Macron's first name is? Emmanuel. And that made the hair stand up in the back of my neck when I read that. I don't know that he's the Antichrist. And the truth is, I think the devil has tried to bring in the Antichrist time and again in past history. I think Hitler was an attempt by Satan to set, because so much of it just kind of fits. But the devil's not in control. God, in his mercy, is telling the church, you better make hay right now. You better go after souls right now. Let's look at one more passage. I'm having a hard time turning it off, but I'll turn it off. Matthew in chapter 7. Matthew in chapter 7. If you're here and you don't know whether you're born again, you don't know whether you're saved, whether you're going to be left behind or not left behind, I want you to know the King is coming, and it is time for the church to wake up. It is time for the church to grow up. It is time for the church to stand up. We need to declare that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. And if you're here, if you're not born again and you're wondering about eternity and you're fearful and you're a wandering soul, I'm telling you this morning, or whatever time of day you're listening to this broadcast, come to the cross. Come to Christ. Jesus said in Matthew and chapter 7 and verse 21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. In other words, not everybody that says they're a Christian is a Christian. Not everybody that says they're born again or uses the name of Jesus, they're not all born again. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, this is the day of judgment. This is the great white throne. Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied or preached in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, exorcisms, and in thy name done many wonderful works. Listen to what Jesus says. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. And I ask you this question in closing. Do you know Christ as your Savior? And if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you need to come to him today.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book. Broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.